episode 6, which signifies that we've gone further than we ever thought we would, because 5 is a nice round number to leave at, but now I guess we have to do at least 10. Well, we have to do 10 to make it a nice round number. Welcome to the next episode of The State of It. I'm Elliot Martin, he's Ed Rowley, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, no worries, this commences the trip to double figures then. But yeah.
Well, we'll get there eventually, hopefully. We don't get bored. Or get told not to do it anymore, which is a high possibility.
Which one comes first? Ooh.
Let's see if we can push it. What's happened since we've been away, first place to start? Brexit, big week for Brexit.
Yeah.
Dominic Raab negotiating the trill deal,
and then
trade pissing
deal.
Off because he didn't like his trill. That's what I meant to say. Trade deal, trill.
There you go.
Designing his own trade deal, then saying I don't like the trade deal and resigning.
An in and out job.
Yeah, very much a come and run, as they say in some parts. So thanks for him for turning up and then pissing off again. Big week for Brexit, but we'll steer away from Brexit today, at least till we do the prizes. What have we got coming up on the podcast today? Well, we've got new stuff. We're going to revamp it. We've done the same thing for 5 episodes in a row, to which point some people will either get bored or make use of their cognitive difficulties. So for episode 6, we have some new things. We are doing a little thing about the news that we've done before on the radio. We've got LinkedIn tennis as per. We've got a hot topic, which is something different. And then, which I'm very excited for, we are launching our own sitcom. To an extent, we've written something or other that will lead into a story. We'll explain it later on, so stick with us for that.
Work in progress, elaborative work.
Yeah, exactly. So let's kick off with the prizes, because it's interesting to see what you're going to win. Should we go straight into it? Enough with the funny sound effects. Let's just see how far we can get without having to pause.
All right. Let's go.
Okay,
let's go.
So prize number one this week. Yeah. So obviously Ed always competes in the games, be it the news headlines game this week, or LinkedIn tennis, or Hot Topic, or anything, and his performance dignifies whether he wins a prize. Now, prize number one this week is a box of 6 Brexit, and we said we'd steer away from it.
But 94 seconds, yeah, so I think you did well. Right. Yeah.
A box of 6 Brexit Krispy Kremes,
okay,
each filled with caramelised sweat from the heads of bald Millwall fans.
lovely.
So get your mouth into those.
They're a rare commodity.
They are expensive. Prize 2 is a rare episode of CBeebies Bedtime Stories, where beloved children's character Mr. Blobby reads from the journals of Nazi kingpin Hermann Göring.
Quite niche. Yeah.
I wonder if we can call...
Did that ever air?
No, it didn't. It was exclusively straight to VHS.
Okay.
It exists in only Blockbuster Braintree.
In 1943.
I wonder if we can call the podcast, because obviously we have niche names. Could we call it Nazi Kingpin?
Absolutely not.
Okay. We'll agree to disagree on that one.
Let's have a brainstorm around that later.
If something better comes up, then we'll go with that. And prize 3 this week that you're competing for is a place on this year's I'm a Celebrity, where you'll have to participate in terrifying bush tucker trials, such as apple bobbing in the crevices of Anne Widdecombe.
Just carry on.
Auditioning for the X Factor without having a tragic family backstory.
Harder, easier said than done.
Yeah, exactly. Licking the stretch marks of John Prescott.
Okay.
And saying hi, how are you, to any Glaswegian stranger. So
some of them more difficult than others.
Yeah, I wouldn't like to try that last one.
No, absolutely not.
An interesting response. So those are the prizes that Ed is competing for today. And we're going to kick off our first game with our news headlines game. So this is something we did back on University Radio Bath for many, many a year.
Back in the day, you know.
Where basically, to look at a roundup of what's been going on since we've been away, Ed is given 5 news headlines, 2 of which are real, 3 of which I have made up, and it is his job to filter out the shite and see which ones are real, which ones are false, and if he gets them both real, he'll win the first prize, which is the Brexit Krispy Kremes.
Happy days.
Yep.
Got a bit of an appetite, hungry, so
fantastic.
Good to do with some of them.
Yeah, get a bit of salt in you.
Yes.
So we've got 5 news headlines. I'll read them out to you, and then you can pluck into them and ask me all about them.
Lovely.
Okay, so news headline number 1. Austrian band kicked off stage for mistreatment of stunt dwarves.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, obviously Austria, they've got a reputation for heavy metal, aggressive music.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing that. I'm seeing
Snow White and the Seven Bassists.
Yeah, you know, it's they were all right. I saw them tour in Cologne. It was so yeah, it was good. So so far, you know, I'll wait to the others. Yeah. But so far, that's not out of the realms of possibility.
Yves Saint Laurent launches Knob Jewelry.
Lovely pronunciation there.
Thank you very much. I just had to get that in before I said the words Knob Jewelry.
Yves Saint Laurent.
So that's a potential one.
What I think you might have done there is played on the words of the sort of a human body part involved. You might have changed the word knob from perhaps
nerb.
Yeah, something French.
Le nub.
Le nub.
Le sausage.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Potentially. Yeah.
Any other nub words for French? Episode number three is a Japanese man spends $20,000 to marry a hologram.
Now that is just, that's true.
Like, it's entirely
let's
plausible.
Go to number four.
Number four, new kids playgroup Brexiteer Tots launched in Blackburn. So it could be true.
Dangerous, we're skirting on the edge.
And the fifth one,
Brexiteer
Tots. And the fifth one, hairdresser arrested for using a fecal wax brand.
Okay.
So
thing is, what obviously all of these, you know, I'm here to win. Like, I want the Krispy Kreme Millwall sweat donuts.
Of course, who wouldn't?
Yeah.
Maybe a lactose West Ham fan.
Exactly.
There's no dairy in sweat, is there? Well, it depends how much yogurt.
Depends their diet.
Yeah.
Strawpedoing 4 pints of milk before the Millwall game.
I'd piss Activia.
So
do you want me to read them through quickly once more?
Yeah, let's go.
So Austrian band kicked off stage for mistreatment of stunt dwarves. Yves Saint Laurent launches Knob Jewelry. Hairdresser arrested for using a fecal wax brand. Japanese man spends $20,000 to marry a hologram. And new kids playgroup Brexiteer Tots launched in Blackburn.
Okay, I'll be honest, based on the fact, if I was a complete outsider, it would be a lot more difficult.
Okay.
But based on the fact that I know...
You know me.
Yeah.
And you know what I would come up with.
Blackburn Brexiteer Tots, yeah. I'm going to put that in the false pile.
You don't think that's real?
I don't think that's real.
Okay.
I also don't think Yves Saint Laurent, Knob Jewelry, I think that is also fake. Brilliant effort, brilliant imagination, but it's in the fake.
Okay.
But
yeah,
that leaves the Japanese hologram.
Yeah,
the fecal matter wax, hair wax.
Yeah.
And number one, which was the
Austrian band kicked off stage for mistreatment of stunt dwarves.
Now, with the fecal hair wax, what's probably happened there is there's been some horse, bovine, canine. Fecal matter.
Yeah, sure, mate. Yeah.
Down in the production line.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I can assume. It's not a bloke who's done a shit in a tub and someone's put that in there.
Get your quiffs with your shits.
So what I'm going to say...
Yeah.
Actually, Japanese hologram, Austrian dwarves, true.
You've got one right.
Okay.
Okay, so the one you've got right is the Japanese man spending £18,000 to marry a hologram... So basically, a Japanese man had the wedding of his dreams with a woman who doesn't exist. 35-year-old Akiko Kondo got hitched to Hatsune Miku, a singing hologram that uses a voice synthesizer to perform in sold-out shows worldwide. But basically, yeah, he married a hologram. He gets it. It's £3,000 to use a time in his own home. It's just a cartoon, basically. Yeah, it's and there's nothing more to me to say about it. The guy's a nutcase. He's married a character. It's a hologram. It's $20,000 on the wedding, though.
Cultural exchange.
Exactly. He did say, though, that she won't ever cheat on him or age or die, which is good.
You never know.
But that means, then you've got one wrong. Meaning, you thought it was the Austrian dwarves, didn't you?
Yeah.
It wasn't. I can confirm, despite the fact you were so dismissive of it, that Yves Saint Laurent have launched their very own Knob Jewelry. So Yves Saint Laurent have launched a controversial line of jewellery with genitals dangling off earrings and necklaces. Detailed penises made from painted golden brass that have Saint Laurent Paris engraved on the back for £215. And you can get a large penis necklace for a snip of the price, no pun intended, at £520. So there we go. A few people on Twitter said they thought they'd read it wrong and said it was jewellery for the penis.
Yeah, that's
but
what
no,
I,
it
that's
was actually penis jewellery. So if you want to charge $345 for a pair of penis earrings, Yves Saint Laurent, YSL, are the people that you should go to.
Nice. When's your birthday?
It's January 2nd. Shittest day of the year.
Okay, cool.
So what's their value proposition? Can that be optimized?
What are the deliverables?
Can you guys loop me in on that?
A serial entrepreneur.
Disruptive.
Can you unpack that?
Is that gross or net?
Look, we need more wiggle room.
LinkedIn tennis time. You know how it works by now. Unless this is your first time listening, in which welcome. Thanks for joining us. Stick around.
Please.
Please, it validates our existence. LinkedIn tennis. We go to and fro on a piece of corporate jargon or corporate bollocks or a phrase that makes you go, ugh, that you would hear at work. If one person is ended by it or can't reply or can't better it, then they lose LinkedIn tennis. So, Ed, would you like to go first this week?
I would love to.
Okay, hit me with your first LinkedIn tennis entry, please.
Now, this one speaks for all of us.
Okay.
The catalyst for change.
Oh, that's very, very nice. I'm going to go straight in with one that's been sent in by a listener.
Oh, really?
This is from Alex Kemba.
Okay.
And he was on his graduate scheme induction day. I won't say where he works because then it's sort of betrayal of confidence, really. Mm. But he was told that at his company, you've got to make sure you integrate your peripherals. I don't know what it means.
I know where he works, I think.
Yeah, you do.
You told me.
Yeah.
Thank you, Alex. Thank you.
Cheers, Alex.
Now moving on to something relatable to both of us, the customer success team leader.
Oh, customer success team leader. Very, very nice.
We all know one of them.
We do. Everyone must have a customer success team leader. I'm going to go in with a CV term. It's a self-starting go-getter.
Oh, lovely, lovely.
Thanks very much.
Double hyphen.
Oh.
Cloud-centric KPIs.
Oh.
You know they're achievable.
They are. They are. And measurable. I'm going to jump in with champagne solutions at lemonade prices.
Very good, very good.
Thank you.
He's here to do business.
He is. At a fraction of the price.
Number four. A crypto-enabled insight date.
Oh. Is that like a date, as in a romantic date?
No, insight day.
Oh, insight day.
Yeah. Totally different concept, mate.
Okay, fair enough. Let's not
much,
joke
much
around.
More real.
Very, very much more real. Unique real-time market coverage.
Lovely, lovely.
Thank you very much.
Got all points covered. High intensity AGMs.
Oh, they are very intense, aren't they? Especially when there's a lack of breaks. Notes to middle management. More breaks, please. Proprietary technologies to systematically aggregate data.
Lovely.
I choked
lovely.
On it.
Yeah.
But there we go.
That's how much it hurt you. Number six. Empowering the stakeholders' raison d'etre.
Oh, getting a little bit of foreign.
A little bilingual.
Another Brexit queue there because of the foreign coming in. I'm going to go with connecting the dots across fragmented information landscapes.
Oh, that rings a bell with me.
It does, doesn't it? Do you realise what's happened here?
Yeah, I do.
The last three LinkedIn tennis entries for me have all been from your company website.
And I know who wrote them.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a great guy.
Is it? So yeah, three real ones though, actually.
You little...
Go on, call me a bastard. Call me a bastard.
I was going to call you a little shit, but yeah.
That's fine.
Number seven, proactively intra-strategizing your colleagues in the feedback strategy.
What?
I fucked it.
Right, that means I've got an open goal then to win.
I fucked it.
Because I don't know what to fight. Like, you can't just say strategy four times.
In the edit, in the output.
It's not getting edited. That's going straight in. And then, I think my final one, if this is good, it wins, is an entry from Matt Ferry. This is a real one. Let's fly it up the flagpole and see who salutes.
I concede.
There you go.
Happy days.
I've won a game of LinkedIn tennis. I'm very happy with that. So yeah. I've won with a combination of real ones from friends and then ones from your company website. So
I'll tell them to change it tomorrow.
Yeah, fair enough.
Shocking.
Before we come to our brand new feature, this new sitcom that is in development with the good people in my brain, it's today's hot topic. And like we say every week, there's a few big questions in life. One is, why are you still listening to this podcast? The second one is, do you ever wonder what Talise is up to nowadays?
Yeah.
Do you? Because yeah. I don't.
Okay.
And the third one is, what is today's hot topic? Well, today's hot topic is something that is relevant, something that's current, something that people are talking about, and it's reality television.
Not the Californian wildfires.
No, because that would be depressing to talk about.
Okay, sorry.
Let's do one about... Okay, next hot topic is the AIDS crisis.
No.
Okay, let's carry on. Today's hot topic is reality television. The reason I picked this up is because I'm a Celebrity, people got announced last week, and I think the first episode at the time of recording this podcast will be tonight, and it includes people like Harry Redknapp.
So he's on the...
Did you not know this?
Well, Harry obviously I did, no.
No, why? Because you don't have a phone.
Yeah. So the old man...
Well, he's the ex-football manager, yeah. Harry Redknapp is going into I'm a Celebrity.
The man who put like bank accounts in his dog name.
Well, that's a theory. My friend at work said that he's only going this because he needs to live outside the UK for certain amounts of time before he can qualify for certain tax schemes. But he's going into it. I'm not sure why. He probably doesn't need the money.
You just explained why.
Yeah. Also going into it are various soap actors, so from Hollyoaks and EastEnders and the like. The one girl from Inbetweeners, and the governess from The Chase.
Wait, is that her title?
Well, her name's Anne Hegarty, but you know the better woman. You know the big woman from The Chase.
The what woman?
The big woman from The Chase. She's a big woman.
I don't know, Elliot.
Yeah, she did an article, an exclusive article.
I just know her as Anne.
Yeah, do you? I know her as the governess.
The governess.
That's her name on The Chase. There's also the Dark Destroyer.
Jesus.
But no, this is Anne Hegarty, and she did an exclusive article with the Metro this week saying...
Quality broadsheet.
Yeah, exactly. She ruled out an I'm a Celebrity romance.
with Big H.
Maybe.
With Hazlitt.
She says that she can't handle relationships. And the article said, Anne Hegarty's revealed that she's not hopeful that she'll find love in the jungle, and actually insisted that relationships just aren't for her, full stop. The Chase star, better known as the governess, to her legion of fans... I mean, who is a fat, like, who's in the legion of the Chase fans?
I don't know, and I don't want to meet them.
She was confirmed in this year's lineup, but she said, if you're looking for the next Katie Price and Peter Andre, don't look to Anne. I don't see that happening. I sort of managed to establish in my life that relationships aren't really a thing I can handle, and so it's probably best not, which is somewhat depressing. But on that note, I've looked at, I'm a Celebrity is basically one that people watch, right?
Yeah.
It's relatively popular.
Yeah, it's popular, sure.
But there are some reality TV shows that haven't been as popular.
Oh, okay.
And haven't survived their first series. And I have a list of about four or five
that I think really want to hear them.
I should run you through them. So the first one, and this is where we're going with the hot topic now. The preamble is done. Now it's the meat. Here's the content, fuckers.
Here are the slices of beef.
Beef. I thought you said beef with a TH, but there we go. First one, Bet on Your Baby. So Bet on Your Baby is a game show that focuses on five families that have toddlers. The families make bets on what their child will do next, and the money won goes towards a college fund. So here we go.
It's American.
So, for example, they'd go like, will the baby listen to its dad and hold on to the ball for a whole minute?
Oh, I see.
You'd sit and watch a baby and see whether they held on to a ball for a minute, which is really, really exciting.
Mm.
Would you watch that?
Absolutely, maybe, definitely, probably not.
Okay, well, I'm glad we went through that roller coaster right there. Number two.
Bet on Your Babies.
Who's Your Daddy? Well, go on, what do you think this is about?
Okay, Who's Your Daddy? Yeah. It could be sort of lighthearted, or it could be like there's some long lost sort of biological nightmare, like two kids got separated at birth and they need to find their real biological father.
An adult who was put up for adoption
as
a baby must correctly choose his or her biological father in a room full of 25 men.
Oh my god, camera.
It gets weirder. They win $100,000. It's in America. if they choose correctly, but lose the money to the person they've incorrectly identified if they guess wrong.
It's just a mind game.
Yeah, yeah.
That's disgusting.
There we go. I cloned my pet. Do you know what this one's about?
Let me think.
Using state-of-the-art technology as opposed to old shit. Yeah. Pet lovers are really...
None of that witchcraft cloning.
Pet lovers are reunited with a replica of their deceased furry friends, which is a bit bizarre.
It's not the same. He's only got three legs.
Oh, no. No, one's just a big penis. Whisker Wars. Enter the wacky and fascinating world of competitive facial hair growing. Why?
Oh, so it's not cats.
That there's no need for a film or TV about that. You can cover facial hair growing with pictures.
Yeah, that's static.
You look at it and go, look at that moustache. You don't need to go, yeah, I grew this.
Yeah, let me watch it grow. It's a 9-part series.
Just fucking ridiculous. And that one's in America as well. And the final one, which is a British one from Channel 4, is called Shattered. What do you think it's about?
How do you spell Shattered?
No, like S-H-A-T-T-E-R. Okay. Oh, yeah, as opposed to what you think it's a, yeah. It's a shit. It's about shitting yourself.
So. Past participle.
Okay, yeah. No, it's Shattered. It's a reality show where, this is the most boring thing ever, where contestants are truly pushed to their limits. The participants were required to stay awake for a full week in order to win £100,000. But it says in the article I found, what Channel 4 hadn't banked on, though, was quite how dull this would be for viewers. And...
just instantly a money losing machine.
Yeah, exactly. All they had to do was go stare at Kevin's now been awake for 4 days. How are you getting on, Kevin? Yeah, a bit tired.
Yeah, a bit tired.
What are you supposed to say? Give him some drugs or something at least. So I've come up with a couple of my own ideas just quickly before we go into the feature I'm so excited about. I just want to get this one out of the way.
Lovely.
So I've got a couple of ideas I think are better than these ones. So we've got soul searching.
Soul
searching.
S-O-U-L.
No, S-O-L-E.
Oh, like your foot.
So basically, a group of contestants go into a place, you know where fish eat the dead skin off your feet?
Yeah.
But basically, the fish are replaced with junkies. So soul searching.
They still in water, or...?
I don't know. It might be a drowning hazard.
Yeah, probably. Otherwise, it's all good to go,
yeah,
really.
Fine, yeah. Yeah. BBC Three, hit me up. Or you've got Femidon Britain. Just Nick Knowles going around the country searching for the best femidoms.
Why him?
Because he does everything.
Polymath.
He's going into the jungle as well.
Is he actually?
He is actually.
Watch out, Anne.
Oh, got your femidoms. And then my third one is called the Great British Flake Off. Not the Bake Off, but the Flake Off, where you just see various groups of friends break to their friends that they're not going to their birthday. They can't make it.
Yeah, I'll definitely come out to the pub tonight. Yeah,
I'll be there. Let me know where you guys are.
Next week,
we'll hang. So those are my three, which I think are all better. But speaking of that, reality television, the next feature is sort of a soap, sort of a women's mag thing that we've done before, and sort of a sitcom. Let's just get into it because I'm very, very excited.
Okay.
Here we are. This is the feature I've been excited for. We're not doing a women's mag letter this week because the joke has died. I can make jokes about Strongbow and Lidl and tattoos for 5 weeks, but by now it needs to stop and we need to go to somewhere else on the comedic spectrum. And we have gone...
K-Cider, Aldi, and...
and tattoo removal. Today we are going to Surrey.
Rah.
And we are introducing a new feature on the state of it. And I haven't quite worked out the title for it yet. This working title is Surrey Sitcom. But it's got a few ideas. We could go with Keeping Up with the Huntingdon Stanleys. The Only Way is Guildford and or Weybridge. But this one I thought last one would work better as an episode title, Knock Knock Knocky on Heaven's Door.
Oh, lovely.
So basically what I've done is we've introduced a number of characters that can form different episodes or chapters, and we can go through these over the podcast and build a little bit of a story. Yeah. Eventually it'll end into a book that will get sold to a Penguin Publishers, it'll become a film, it'll flop, and then you'll see me on BBC Three trying to flog it as part of Jonathan Ross / Claudia Winkerman's film programme.
In Guildford.
/ Weybridge.
On Goak.
So what we've got to do before we actually get into the storyline is establish who our characters in our story are. And what I've done is written 5 character descriptions. But each character has a little flaw in them. You know, obviously you've got to have something interesting about the characters. Sure. They've got to overcome or defeat or have a character arc so they become a better person.
Maybe
so
something in their history, something
exactly.
Like that. Yeah.
So should we run through the 5 characters in The Only Way is Guildford?
I would love to.
Okay, so our first character, bear in mind this is Surrey, so it's an upper middle class family. we've got 5 people. The father, first and foremost, is called Giles.
Okay.
As he would be. So Giles,
obviously.
Trained as an architect, but found his calling in investment management. He wears fleeced gilets. He gets far too into his son's rugby matches, like proper shouts, come on, the college! and has a lot of friends called Rich that he refers to. So.
Could be an adjective, could be the name.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about that, but there we are. But he has a flaw, and Ed, it's your decision what his flaw is. Okay. So you have three options. Does Giles have arthritis in his thumbs from perpetually flicking between Radio 2 and Radio 4? Depending on the time of day.
Happens to the best of us.
Of course. Does he have a secret sexual lust for his border collie, Angus?
Again, happens to the best of us.
If you say so. Or is he haunted by a memory of his time at Eton, where he was involved in the manslaughter of a servant during the badminton formal? So that's the... Okay, so there we go. That's Giles' flaw, so I'll make a note of that for the next episode, the first episode. Let's move on to the mum of the family. This is Pippa.
Of course.
Because, of course, she's called Pippa. She was born into a mightily well-off family, patiently waiting to inherit Daddy's estate, but he just won't fucking die.
Come on, I'm waiting.
She doesn't have a full-time job, instead focusing on Pilates, her art, and book club organisation.
Oh, obviously.
And, however, she's often stressed due to perpetually applying for Wimbledon tickets. So, there we are. Got to get sent to court.
July 22nd. They come out for next year.
They've come out. I'm not queuing. But she's got a flaw, Pippa does. Can she not walk properly due to posterior damage caused by the Range Rover's heated seats? Does she have bitter resentment towards her friend Hazel for once smirking at the fact she's only got 4 Nigella cookbooks? Or is she banned from the local Waitrose due to once shoplifting feta after a year 8 mum's boozy brunch?
As much as I love the shoplifting feta, I think...
Hazel, innit?
No, number one.
You want to go for she can't walk
posterior
properly.
Damage
well,
from the heated
seats.
I'm
interested to see how I can play with this. Christ. We've now got the daughter... So we had the mum Pippa, and we've got the daughter Poppy.
Pippa and Poppy.
Pips and Pops.
Pips and Pops.
Pips and Pops.
Could be the cats. In this case, it's mother and daughter.
Or could be new names for drugs. Poppy, so she studies history at Leeds or something.
Leeds and or Bristol.
Leeds and or both. She does both Leeds and Bristol.
She actually did an exchange semester in Bristol.
Oh yeah, it changed her life. It really did. She gets paid to advertise protein bars on Instagram. She's not at all interested in sport except the Six Nations, which is really weird.
She just love all the tight shorts and the big size.
I get really annoyed about this, right? For some reason, it seems fashionable for girls to support a different country other than England in the Six Nations. Have you noticed this?
Yeah, I have.
And there are loads of people that support Ireland or Wales.
Yeah,
less so Scotland, because that's not fashionable.
No, there's nothing cool about that.
A lot of sway towards Ireland or Wales.
Just some distant heritage. Like, yeah, my dad once found like a sheep and... Something happened.
What? Okay. And the final point on Poppy, she claims to have gone on a gap year, but actually she just broke into Whipsnade Zoo and took photos with an elephant. So, do you want to see what her flaw is?
I'd love to.
So you get to design her flaw. Is she the subject of a pending investigation by the Bedfordshire Police after taking so much flash photography with the elephant that she in fact killed it? Does she have an obsession with bad boys so bad that it's grown from fancying men with tattoos all the way to becoming pen pals with Charles Manson? Or did she pass her driving test only because she's attractive and has consequently crashed her Mini into 4 junior schools?
I know for a fact that at Whipsnade Zoo the elephant is still alive. So okay. It's not that. So not you that. Know, don't joke here, Elliot.
Okay.
But it is clearly number 2.
Charles Manson. He has passed now. I would say God rest his soul, but then I'd be in trouble. Right, son number 1, Triz, short for Tristram.
Oh, sure.
My first line here just says raw.
Explains a lot, doesn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Secondly, we've got he rotates between 3 outfits. So you've got rugby club blazer tie and chinos, sixth form cricket training gear, even in winter, or fully naked for the bants. He set his sights on becoming a trader, but he thinks the footsie refers to stroking a girl's leg.
It's a tactic. Well employed.
It might work. He's been punched in the head on no less than 7 occasions, and he can drink 11 pints before the racism kicks in. So that's Triz there, or Trizzo.
I mean, he's a great lad. He's a really nice guy.
He's not. His flaw... Is his flaw?
I think you've explained him already.
No, we've got worse things.
Oh, God.
Does he desperately suppress latent homosexual tendencies towards his teammates in the rugby team? Has the culture of glorifying chronic alcohol consumption led to an ability to cough up blood on demand? Or does he secretly, he's not told anyone, have a Giacomo membership to make use of the selection of comfortable yet affordable briefs?
Something we can all relate to.
Okay.
It's too obvious.
He fancies the boys. Yeah. That's fine.
No, but he's just comfortable around them.
Yeah. Okay. The youngest son.
Just leave it.
The youngest son. The youngest of the Huntington Stanleys is Felix.
Oh, okay.
Felix Huntington Stanley plays every woodwind instrument known to man and some that aren't.
The oboe in C minor, #sharp.
There we go. He's best friends with the two family cats, Thatch and Maggie. And he makes Fortnite YouTube compilations under the name Headshots on Fleek. Those aren't his flaws. His flaws are, does he A, cry in the scrum?
Depends where he plays.
Does he realise that when he watches softcore porn on his iPad mini at night, it automatically connects to the family TV?
I love Sonos surround system.
There we go, yeah, really brings out the bass. Or does he not have the courage to tell Pippa that he doesn't actually, in fact, like Brie? Those are your three choices for that one.
I think A is quite hard hitting, and also brings back memories for me. So I think I'd go for B.
You're going for B, the pawn. Ed has chosen the pawn. So those are our five characters today. We've got Giles, Pips, Pops, Triz, and Felix. Hopefully, we'll be hearing more from them and their journey as part of the Huntington Stanleys. Knock, knock, knocky on heaven's door in the coming weeks. So stick around for that. And that is the end of the podcast.
Oh, man.
And that has flown by. So thanks for coming, Ed.
No worries.
Good.
I'm overheating here.
Are you? It's a warm studio.
Yeah, studio.
My producer, please turn the thing down.
Because obviously we have a studio and a producer
and
a team. Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. Wait, producer, say hello.
You just can't hear it.
There he was. He was in the background there. Thanks for joining in with that. Thanks for listening to the state of it. We led with the best at the end there, I think. But more to come from the Huntington Stanleys in the next few weeks. Until next time, all we've got to say is, piss off.
Lovely.
So, did Ed win the prizes this week? News headlines, you got one out of two.
50%.
50%. I'll give you three Brexiteer donuts.
Good.
You lost LinkedIn tennis.
Yeah.
Which means you don't get the Mr. Blobby reading Goering's memoirs,
which is
a shame.
I can pass on that.
I would like to hear his individual take on it, whether he had any creativity to it. I would have gone with Pudsey there, but I think there would have been some trademark issues. And then we didn't actually have a third competition for you to win the Anne Widdicombe's apple bobbing or John Prescott's stretch marks or swing to Glaswegian people. So this is a really good format that definitely works for us and that we should really take forward in the future. We'll work on it. We'll get back to you. In the meantime...
Either way, I've got three donuts, so...
You got three donuts, all with caramelised sweat from the heads of bored Millwall fans. And viva Brexit, I guess.
Ooh.